With average interest rates on credit card debt at 17% APR, there's no better time to lower your interest rate and save money with a credit card consolidation loan from LightStream. The application is 100% online. You can get a loan from $5,000 to $100,000 with rates from 5.49% APR with AutoPay and no fees. The application takes just minutes, and you could have your funds as soon as today. Apply now and get an additional interest rate discount on top of LightStream's already low rates. The only way for listeners with good credit to get this special discount is go to LightStream.com/SHMS. That's LightStream.com/SHMS. Subject to credit approval. Rate includes 0.5% auto pay discount available only when you select auto pay prior to loan funding. Terms and conditions apply and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit LightStream.com for important information about limits on LightStream loans and same day funding.
Y'all know what time it is.
Y'all don't know y'all better ask y'all.
Like $1 million bucks, things in its cuffs. Mm-hmm. Y'all tell me, who could it be but Steve Harvey?
Oh, yeah.
Listening to me. Mm-hmm. Put your hands together for Steve Harvey.
Put your hands together.
I sure will. Good morning, everybody. You are listening to The Voice. Come on, dig me now. One and only Steve Harvey got a radio show. Man, oh man, oh man. It symbolizes just one thing to me, man. It's just a constant reminder of exactly how good God has been to me over the years. And I thank him for it, too, because I realize every day that I wake up that I would be nothing without him. That everything I am that's any good in me, I owe to him. Now, have I made some mistakes along the way? Yep. Mm-hmm. Bunches. Bunches and bunches. And will I continue to make mistakes along the way? Yep. Not as many, hopefully, as I have in the past, because a lot of stuff I know better now. But you're still going to make mistakes. Now, you know, hopefully I've limited the amount of intentional errors in my life. I've wiped quite a few of those out. But from time to time, because we're human, we're going to make a mistake every now and then. The trick with it is, y'all, is not to let the devil deceive you into thinking that once you make that mistake, that that's it. You can't do it. You've fallen off the wagon. You can't reboard it. That's the biggest trick that he uses. He makes you think that if you keep stumbling, that you can't run the race. It kind of reminds me of a marathon runner. From time to time, I watch him on TV. And you'll see some people who finish the race, you know, in a nice pace. You see people finish the race sprinting towards the finish line. But every now and then, you'll watch a marathon and you'll see a runner. And the runner is in really, really bad shape. And getting close to the finish line, to the point where you see him fall, and sometimes you see him crawling, and you see the people, the aid people that work there trying to encourage him on. Now, they can't lift him up and walk him across the finish line because they'll be disqualified. But you see people staggering from side to side. I mean, wobbling really, really bad. Legs are completely shot, and you're thinking, man, I hope they make it and hang on. And a lot of times, almost every time I've seen this person or these people manage to somehow cross the finish line. And then the aid workers run in and wrap them in the aluminum foil looking blanket and start trying to get some water to them and get an IV in their arm and get them in an ambulance. The key is, they finish the race. See, you don't get disqualified in the marathon because you stumble. They don't take your opportunity to finish the race because you keep falling. That's not the key. The key is finishing. And a lot of times what the devil does is he makes you think that because you keep stumbling, because you're swaying from side to side, that you know, you out the race. Well, that's not the case. And see, and in this thing called life, let me help you understand something. Everybody falls. Nobody sprints to the tape in this one. Nobody just runs free and clear. Now, there's some people running faster than you and all like this. And some people going to get to the end before you. Let them go ahead. And when the end come, the end come. I ain't in a rush to get to the end. But in this race, though, when you're stumbling and you're falling, it's a part of it. No one gets through this race without stumbling and falling, swaying from side to side. So don't let the enemy deceive you into thinking that it's over. I try to be encouraging to people because I don't want people to get stuck on this thing. You know, and my walk is very different from a lot of people's walks. And then I know a lot of people who walking in faith the way I'm walking in faith. But my thing in the morning is just to remind those that is not a perfect walk, man. That is not something that's set up where you're going to be skipping through life scot-free without any pitfalls. You know, I keep saying it over and over and over again because, like I said, when I was in D.C., my boy Hondo said this to me, and it just kind of stuck with me, that the road to success is always under construction. You have to figure and count on the setbacks and the pitfalls, but it's those people that fight through will be the victors in the end. You cannot give up, man. Stop going somewhere and sitting down every time something goes down. It's going to go down. It's a part of it. It's going to happen. It's going to occur. There are going to be setbacks. If you go and sit down every time there's a setback, that's not how this works. Please understand, it is designed that way. If success were easy, everybody would be successful. But success is just reserved for those who are willing to fight through, who refuse to settle for mediocrity, who want something more. Now, don't get me wrong. Success is defined by each individual. So what I may consider to be successful, you may not consider that. You know, what Bill Gates considers successful, I might not consider. What Michael Jordan considers successful, I might not consider. What you consider successful, your boss might not consider. You have to define what that is for yourself. It may not be monetary at all. You know, your level of success could be tied up in community service. It could be tied up in family. It could be tied up in the church. Your level of success could be tied up in the boys' clubs. It could be any number of things. Whatever your level of success is, you have to determine what that is. You, and the best way to determine that is to get in touch with your maker who created you, to find out what your mission and your purpose is so he can put you on track. I just had this conversation with my son, and we were talking about getting on the path that God has set up for you. So many times we find ourselves fighting through life because of so much uncertainty, because we have no idea where we're headed. It's like one of my sayings that I have at my mentoring camp for boys is that a boy without a male role model is like an explorer without a map. See, if you don't have a map laid out in front of you of where you're going, when you wake up every day, that pretty much explains the feeling of confusion, the lackadaisical attitude, the lack of purpose, the not understanding your mission, because you don't have not gotten in touch with your creator to find out exactly what your path in life is. What are you supposed to be doing? The moment you can identify that is the moment that you get started waking up with purpose, with the sense of direction, when you kill the sense of I don't know what's next or what to do. Now, there's going to be some confusing moments no matter what happened. There's going to be some uncertainty, but at least you'll know where you're going. So if you're tired of waking up feeling lost, abandoned, confused, don't know what to do, don't know what you're supposed to be doing, refer back to your maker. Because when he created you, he had a plan for you. When he created you, he had a path for you. Now, we've made some decisions to get off of both of those, the mission and the path, but God can get you right back on track. Do that today. Talk to him about it. Ask him what you're supposed to be doing. And listen, God has all the answers if you form the relationship, okay? All right, let's go.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, people, girls, boys, people at work in the toiletry department at all department stores.
Yes.
All Walmart workers, especially the dude that give you the grocery cart when you come in. To all of the people at CVS and Rite Aid. To anybody that work at Walgreens that's in fear of Rite Aid and CVS taking you. For the lady behind the desk with the white coat that's in pharmaceutical sales. And when I come in and ask for a prescription that I can't pronounce.
You help me.
Man, Lord, lady, thank God that you know what it is. Sir, that's not how you pronounce it. Here it is. Yeah. And there's only 20 of them. I'm arguing with this lady. Well, you get a free refill. Hell, I'm be out of them in 20 days. I don't want to come back down here. Those are who we are dedicating today's show to, the Steve Harvey Morning Show. Good morning, Shirley.
Hey, good morning. Welcome back, Steve.
Yeah. I'll tell you what I had to do. I'm going to give you a great compliment to a choir in Harlem, New York. Carla Farrell.
What's happening, Steve Harvey in the building?
Junior.
Morning, Unc.
Jay Anthony.
What up, Steve?
Thomas Miles.
Yay.
All right, so I'm at this event Friday night in New York at the library. Big Dolce & Gabbana event.
Oh, wow.
This is the first time Dolce & Gabbana has ever come to America. And so I'm doing the opening of the event Thursday night. You know, these is opera dudes, Italians. They love opera. Their English isn't that good. They're really cool people. We're in the library. Out front in the hallway, a gospel choir from Harlem came.
Oh, really?
Let me tell you something. These young people was letting them have it. I'm talking about the choir director would arch his back and it was called the Harlem Gospel Choir. But it was led by this woman, light-skinned sister. It was a Vivian something or whatever her name was. Mm-hmm. Can't think of the name. Somebody sent us to something. And she's headed by this woman and her choir director is this black dude, bald head dude.
They was rocking like side
dog,
to side.
Dog, let me tell you something. Man. Side to side, soul clapping.
Tambourine? Yeah, tambourine?
No, but ripping these songs off. To people from Asia, Brazil, the UK. Man, they couldn't even clap. They didn't know what it was. I got up to the front and was letting them have it. Yeah.
What were you doing?
You better come on now. Boy, you better sing it. Let him use you.
Yes.
Everybody in there could sing, man. And so the foreigners were going, what is this? And they were going, this is a gospel choir. Oh, my God. They loved it. They were just mesmerized. They did, and they were singing the hits. Soul versions of This Little Light of Mine. I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord. But soul version.
Yeah. Oh,
that choir
really?
Led by that light-skinned lady was clowning. I just want to give big ups to the something-something Harlem Gospel Choir.
We'll be back. Maybe there's a part two of this, okay? We'll be back at 32 after.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
It is time for something funny, and Steve, you were telling us about your fabulous weekend.
Let me just finish this choir.
Mm-hmm.
That was the highlight of the weekend. Now, let me tell you. Then, okay, the choir was just off the chain. The dude was bent back directing the choir. The tenor section was good. The altos was good. The sopranos, they was in there singing, and it was echoing in the library because they had them on the steps out in the hall. The sound was outstanding. But the people looking didn't know what they were watching because they've never seen it. But then they was getting caught up in it, though.
Yeah.
they was struggling trying to keep the clap beat. Because, you know.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
they was giving them some of that, and that was throwing them a little bit.
Up on that, always.
Yes, sir. That's because you went to
you mess
went
up
to
on
Methodist
that.
Church.
I always mess up
church,
on
he's
that.
At Methodist, the downbeat church. Y'all, yeah. All y'all songs was out the book. They didn't have no book.
They
was following instructions. One more time, yes. One more time, yes.
Yeah,
two more times, yes, yes. Yeah, they was letting them have. So I'm standing next to this Asian dude. Well, probably shouldn't say that because I've been in trouble.
You can say Asian.
I was next to a Brazilian dude. Let me just change it.
Oh, now he's Brazilian.
Yeah, I just
tell the damn story
stop
right,
here.
Man.
So I'm sitting there, and they mouths is open. They just taking pictures because it was a highlight. So the next event was at Christie's.
Was the Asian guy there?
Shut up. No, he wasn't.
Now let me tell you something. That was an auction. Sarah Jessica Parker was there. She was at our table.
Okay.
So I did the the first night was at Christie's. The second night was at the library where the gospel singers go. Boy, let me tell you something. At Christie's, they would bid.
Mm-hmm.
They bid it on a necklace, a bracelet, and thing. Let me tell you how I go. My wife said, Steve, we should just bid just to get it started. The due opening bid for this one necklace was you had to open at $30,000.
Come on, do we need a drum roll?
He said, can I get $30,000? The dude held his paddle up and said, $100,000. I said, okay, man, you didn't hear the dude say you could start at 30? Damn, you don't let nobody else play? $100,000. So that just...
What was it, a necklace?
Just a necklace.
You wanted that necklace.
Precious jewel. And so it got started. Ended up, when we got through with this dude right here, and somebody tried to challenge him, this boy right here was clowning. He ended up, for Sarah Jessica Parker's foundation, $640,000.
Over necklace. Half a million? Did it have any diamonds in it?
Of course.
Oh,
it was
okay,
huge.
Good.
Oh, it was an incredible piece.
I heard you say precious
jewel. Oh, it was an incredible piece. Wow. When he got through, it was $640,000.
Wow.
Did you bid it all?
Did you bid?
No. He proved that you ain't want to mess with him. We're going to start at $30,000. His first shot, $100,000.
So the man said 30, he went 100.
Yeah. So Sunday night,
go to an auction. Uh-huh.
The event Sunday night was at the Met.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm.
So they had the fashion show at the Met. My daughter walked in that. You can see it on Marjorie's page.
Yeah.
The dinner was inside the Met Gala at the Met Opera House on stage.
Wow. Mm.
The dinner was on stage at the Met. That's how much money these people have. So I had dinner.
Well, you were there. You're not exactly broke. Yeah.
I didn't know it.
Yeah, you was in there.
You was there.
Yeah.
It ain't like you snuck in. Right. I mean,
no, I was there. Oh, at prime table.
And you're not broke.
Yeah.
But
no.
you in there as a black man, though.
No, me and Jamie Foxx. Jamie Foxx was at the show because Jamie Foxx's daughter and my daughter walked in the fashion show.
Was Katie Holmes with them?
You don't like when you ask them questions. Jamie don't like that. No.
Right there. Well, so you start
there,
stuff.
Jamie if she don't was like there, them questions.
I don't
but
say
was she
stuff
that
like, I don't get into that.
You don't like
that. I don't get,
you don't get into it.
Yeah, I don't do gossip.
There.
Jamie, my dude. He don't want to talk about it. I don't talk about it. I don't do gossip. I don't
Did
know
you
who
see
was that.
Somebody with it.
I saw Jamie Foxx.
Okay.
Naomi Campbell closed the show and shut it down.
Yes, she did.
Mm. That damn Naomi walked through there. I've never seen a model get a round of applause.
Yeah, she's known for her
she
walk.
She knows what she's doing.
Huh? Known for her walk.
She said, you gangster. She said, I'm too old. No. They know it. She's still fine. Mm-hmm. Please understand. Mm-hmm. Please understand.
She is so fine. I like her. Who is that?
Well, you saw Naomi, but you didn't see Katie. Okay.
Well, I don't. Katie wasn't in the fashion show.
Who is it, a black girl walking down the way? J.
Anthony Brown. J. Anthony Brown.
What? I hate you.
Keep it pimping, Jay.
And don't answer what in that voice.
Who is the black girl coming this way?
He said he was Brazilian. Didn't you hear him?
I don't do Brazilian voice. I'm
You can't change the story.
It was great, man, and just some amazing stuff, and
You had
just,
a good weekend.
You had a good weekend.
Well, you know, I didn't work this weekend,
That's
so
good.
That was good. But I had to attend events because my child was in it. So
That's good.
I had to go to
supporting.
Events.
Yeah,
supporting. I was clean.
What'd you wear, dog?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, we know you're going
to wear it all the time.
But now, let me tell you something. Some dudes in there with some stuff on. Woo.
Really?
Yeah. I'm going to have to switch up a little bit. When I go to these automotive fashion shows, I'm going to have to go a little bit more high fashion.
Oh,
yeah, so
you
I
going
can match
there?
Up. I'm gonna get some gangster stuff made. Yeah,
okay.
I'm gonna be glittering and shining.
All right,
one dude had the jacket match the pants that matched the shoes.
All right, Steve, we gotta get out of here. Coming up next, Run That Prank Back with the Nephew right after this.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Coming up at the top of the hour, it's entertainment news. Russell Crowe, the Gladiator.
Man, he sold all his stuff.
Yeah, gets millions at his divorce auction.
Whoa.
What? Yeah, we'll talk about it. We'll talk about it. Miss Ann is also going to be here with today's national news. But right now, it is time for the nephew to run that prank back. What you got, Neff? I love it.
Keep
this.
Sweat.
Yes. I love this one.
Keep sweat, baby. In ref.
No, OG.
Hello.
Hey, I'm trying to reach Manny. Is this Manny?
Nah, this ain't Manny, man. This is Sweat. Who's this, man?
Hey, this Raheem, man. Wow, this Sweat. Okay. Hey, Mr. Keith, we got people down here. You're supposed to be here at the record store, man, right here in Harlem, and we got people wrapped around the building. You're supposed to be here signing these CDs, man, but it's been over an hour. These people have been standing here waiting on y'all.
Yo, man, I don't know nothing about no record store, and number two, I don't know nothing about doing no signing, man. Who set this up, man? I don't know.
The name I was given was Manny. Who was Manny?
Manny's my road manager, but he don't set things up, man. He's a road manager. He's not my manager. He just handled my stuff on the road, but I was never told I was supposed to be nowhere to do anything, man. I mean, normally when somebody tell me and them have an understanding that I book what I'm supposed to do, so I don't know nothing about this, my brother.
Okay, well, you know, we got to get this taken care of. We got people wrapped around the building. We got a table here laid out. We got pens and everything for you to sign these CDs, man. We got over 100 people outside the store.
My brother, nobody told me about no signings or no nothing, man. I mean, I don't know nothing about no signing, for real.
Okay, but are you hearing what I'm saying to you, man? We got people outside the building waiting for you to arrive to sign some CDs. Now, what I'm supposed to tell these people?
Yo, I don't know what you're supposed to tell them, man. I mean, you know, and it's kind of like you raising your voice, dude. I don't know who you are calling me like this. I told you, man, I didn't set nothing up, man. And, you know, I mean, I don't even know who gave you my number. You know what I'm saying? I don't handle
it. All this information was on the fax machine. I got this as a contact number. Manny is the person I'm supposed to be talking to. And Mr. Sweat was supposed to arrive here at 12 noon. Now, here it is. It's 1:15, 1:20, man. and you ain't here. And we got people wrapped around the building. We've been advertising this for the last 2 weeks. I mean, the album dropped
my
today.
Brother, I don't think you, I mean, no disrespect to you, but I don't think you hear me, man. I don't know nothing about a signing. If I knew about a signing or knew I had a signing session, I wouldn't have the people sitting around or standing around like that. That's not what I do. But no one informed me that nothing like this was going down today. You know what I'm saying? So, you know,
okay, but look, man, now that you realize people are here waiting, what are you going to do? What am I supposed to tell them?
Man, there's no way in the world I can get down there and do a signing at this time, late time right now, man. I mean, you know.
You need to get your bag in that. You need to try to get yourself down here,
hold on,
man.
Well, first of all, I mean, you know, what did you just say? I think you just called me out my name or something, man. What did you just say to me, man?
No. I'm saying you need to try and come on down and sign these CDs for these people, man. These people are here. They're waiting in line. They've been waiting over an hour on you. Now, this not going to look good. This is the date.
We got your
CD almost on every show, man.
I'm feeling you, and I understand now. I understand what you're saying to me, but there's no way I can get down there, man. You just going to have to reschedule this, or we going to have to reschedule this. I apologize for the, you know, misunderstanding, but bottom line is I knew nothing about this.
Hold on a second. Mr. Anderson. This is Mr. Sweat. He's saying he don't know anything about being here. I'm telling him we got people all wrapped all around the building. He don't care.
Yo, dude, I didn't say I didn't care. I said there's nothing I could do. I didn't set it up. I didn't say that, man. Don't put words in my mouth, my brother.
What do you want me to do?
All you got to do is reschedule it for another time, man. That's what you do.
Hold on, man. I'm talking to my boss. I'm trying to figure out how to get. We got people finna get mad, man, because you're not here. Okay? Now, whoever Manny needs his whoop, man. He does.
Yo, I don't know nothing about that, man. I ain't got nothing to do with that, man. All I know is that nobody told me about that. You know, I'll call Manny and I ask who said this up because I don't do things unless I know where it's coming from.
So ain't no way you can get yourself
hold
down
up, hold
here.
Up. You keep, first of all, man, you don't talk to me like I'm your child, man. You keep saying there's no way I can get my, you know, back up on what you're saying, dude.
Hey, man, we having a problem. This is supposed to be one of the biggest days of our record store. We got your CD on every shelf, and you just so calm and collect, like it's not a problem with you.
No, what I'm supposed to do, man, when I didn't know nothing about it, I understand it's a problem because it made me look like I'm a no-show. But, dude, I'm telling you again, I knew nothing about this, man.
Hold on 1 second. Take all his damn CDs off the shelf. Every last one of them.
Yo, I don't know what you're talking about, man. You losing your darn mind right now, man. I'm not trying to disrespect you, dude, but you really losing your mind right now. You doing something you ain't got no business though, man. I said reschedule the situation, man. You know, tomorrow, the day
after. How are we rescheduling when the album drops today,
yo,
man?
Okay, well, there's nothing I could do about this, dude. Nothing.
Sound like you raising your voice at me.
I ain't raising my voice, man, because now you disrespect me. You don't call my phone going off like I'm somebody's child, like I'm your child, dude. Man, you don't talk to me like that, man. Come on.
So you can't stop what you're doing and bring your butt down here to the record store.
No,
I can't stop what I'm doing.
No, I can't stop what I'm doing, man.
So what you doing right now that's so important, you can't come.
Man, it ain't none of your business what I'm doing right now, dude. I'm saying I knew nothing about this, man. So I'm not going to keep going back and forth with you like I got to explain to you why I got to stop what I'm doing to come down there. I knew nothing about it. It's not my fault, dude. You need to take this up with somebody who scheduled this because I didn't schedule it.
There's a right and a wrong way to look, a right and a wrong way to do somebody, Mr. Sweat.
Oh, man, come on. Now you reciting my songs, man.
Okay.
Come on, man.
Okay, no problem. Songs. I'm just going to go out here and tell everybody in the line, Mr. Sweat don't want to come, okay? And I'm taking all of the damn CDs off the shelf because you don't want to stand up and be the celebrity that you're supposed to be.
Man, okay, now you know what, man? You do what you got to do, man. At this point, you do what you got to do, man. But, who am I talking to anyway?
This Raheem, man.
Raheem.
I work here at the store.
Okay, well, I'll see you, Raheem. You go ahead and do what you get ready to do, and I'll come and see you, dude.
What you mean you going to see me? What that mean?
I'll see you. Yeah, I'll see you. That's what it mean. I'll see you.
Okay, because the bottom line is, man, Tommy said you was going to come. He the one said you was going to come sign.
Tommy who? Now you, Raheem, Tommy, who the hell is the Tommy?
Tommy, man, nephew Tommy from the Steve Harvey Morning Show. Swear I got your
boy, man, you know what? Man, y'all tripping, boy, for real. Man, you don't even understand what you make me do, dude. You crazy.
crazy, boy. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Y'all don't have anything better to do than call me and mess with me, man.
I knew the album was dropping, man. I said, I'm getting it today. You man, good?
Yeah, I'm good, man. I'm good, man. Boy, you crazy, boy. Man, let me get off this phone, man. Y'all do what y'all boy. You don't even understand.
Oh, sweat, man. I had to get you, dog. Look here, you know, I know you got your show, but you got to tell me what is the baddest radio show in the morning.
The Steve Harvey Morning Show, man. Get off my phone there a few times.
Did I get Sweat riled up
something,
a little bit, y'all? Just
something
a little
just
bit.
Just ain't right, man. Really?
Nah, this ain't no Manny.
Got him good, baby.
Ain't Manny.
April 28th. Let me put it out there. April 28th, Montgomery, Alabama, at the Montgomery Performing Arts Center. The Nephew will be in town along with Bruce. J.J. Williamson in the building. Y'all get y'all tickets. Tickets on sale right now. That is Montgomery, the Gump. Montgomery, Alabama, at the Montgomery Performing Arts Center. You can get them at the box office, all Ticketmaster outlets. On sale, red now.
Yeah, daddy.
That Keith Sweat, he is not to be toyed
no,
with,
Keith
young
Sweat.
Young
play
man.
With. Keith ain't no joke.
All right, listen, coming up at the top of the hour, Miss Ann will be here with our national news. And divorce is expensive, but actor Russell Crowe made $3.7, that's almost $4 million, at a divorce auction. Who knew?
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, we all know the people on the show who've been divorced. We all know that divorce can be very expensive. That's three people.
Oh, that's not necessary.
For the setup.
Yeah.
That's cold-blooded.
But Gladiator Russell Crowe got a bit of financial help, let's say, to the tune of $3.7 million. Crowe raked in the cash at an auction. This was an auction designed to fund his split from his ex-wife, Danielle Spencer. It was called, what? The Art of Divorce. It offered more than 200 of Russell Crowe's belongings, including movie memorabilia, artwork, and instruments. And among the bestsellers was the breastplate he wore in Gladiator, in the movie, which was one of my all-time favorite movies.
Are you not entertained?
Yes. That sold for $125,000, okay?
Wow.
Yes.
Yeah. I'd have bought it for $20,000.
So, yeah.
Really?
But
he need the money.
I bid it.
Yeah,
he
but, like, well, it ain't enough, man. I'm just telling y'all.
No, he don't have more. He's going to have to come on more.
It ain't enough. Yeah. That is not enough.
Yeah, he almost made $4 million on this.
And she's not impressed with you selling
right.
your stuff.
Hey,
she
man,
don't care.
Y'all quit talking about how that $4 million going to get it. That ain't enough.
Mm-mm. No.
How come
well,
it's not
well,
enough?
Yeah, what do you mean?
What do you have? Look, if it, huh. if
it
you
helps.
So, y'all have no idea what that number at. That $4 million to drop in the bucket, I can promise you that.
Mm. What?
That she got coming?
Yeah,
well, he's a divorce expert now.
Well, are you mad about that?
That's true, Tom.
No, I'm just telling you, it's a drop in the bucket. It ain't even going to put a dent in this thing, man.
Oh,
he should have just kept all that stuff. Dude.
Bruh, dog, I'm just trying to tell you.
To
y'all don't know these numbers that these dudes is messing with, especially out here in Cali. That's a drop in the bucket. I feel bad for him.
Yes,
man.
Lord. And she's not impressed with you selling your
no,
stuff. She don't give a
give
damn.
A damn.
She can listen to him.
Sell it all.
Sell it all.
They better. That's
what sold. Yeah. What did she get in the divorce? Mm-hmm. See, that's what y'all ain't. The houses, the cars, the money, the endowments, the savings. She get all that.
Retirement money.
Yeah.
Sell a lung. We don't give a
damn. Man, ladies and gentlemen, we have a lung. We're going to start this lung off with $20,000.
This auction is Russell Crowe's lung.
His lung? She took his lung?
Man, this place right here in L.A., this is not the place to get divorced.
No.
No,
I agree
it's
with
a drop in the y'all gonna talking about this $4 million like that's a big number. That's not a number out here. Mm-hmm. $4 million. It's not a number out here.
Wow.
Quit
so
talking
you wouldn't
to
auction
these
none of
people.
Your stuff?
Boy. Oh,
man. Man, there'd be a lot of people trying to get them a Steve Harvey suit, Steve
those
Harvey.
Those shiny shoes. Yeah, you wore those shoes on your last comment.
He's not putting it up because he want to.
Oh.
See, that's all part of the settlement. They have to split all assets.
Yeah, I mean, mm-hmm. Even that they got together. Right.
So now, what I don't care what it is, I want half of that too. So you got to sell it and see what it brings. That's the way it works, man. What's it's this? Not he didn't sell it because he was short.
No.
Was
he had to sell
she got half of everything.
But no, it wasn't in California, though. It was in New Zealand.
Australia
yeah.
or something.
Yeah, oh, they rough over there in New Zealand.
Yeah.
Australia. Well, he might have got off good then.
Fuck me.
But we thought.
Why y'all so angry about it?
I know you're so bitter.
I don't want y'all. You don't know.
Y'all don't have no idea. What the hell
shouldn't have been. What you bring it up for?
Yeah.
Oh, so this has nothing to do with Russell Crowe.
Just not damn about Russell Crowe.
This ain't no damn happy time to be joking about stuff like this.
We can't talk about stuff that goes on in the news because of you two.
Hey, you don't bring up divorce on this show.
All right, listen. It's time to go to Miss Ann, okay?
Ladies and gentlemen, she's here. Miss Ann Tripp.
Thank you very much, everybody. Oh, boy. Okay. And here we go. This is Ann Tripp, everyone, with the news. President Trump is condemning what he says was a heinous attack on innocent Syrians using banned chemical weapons. Video showing some 40 men, women, and children were killed.
We're talking about humanity, and it can't be allowed to happen. As bad as the news is around the world, you just don't see those images.
The president says he's going to make up his mind about what the U.S. reaction is going to be between now and tomorrow. Trump says he's considering U.S. military action. You may remember about a year ago, the president ordered a missile strike on a Syrian airfield after he saw photos of scores of lifeless bodies, also supposedly poisoned. As for whether he thinks that Russian President Putin is at least partially responsible because of his relationship with the Syrian government, Trump told reporters that, quote, he may, and that if he is, he will pay a price. He says everybody will. Meanwhile, the feds conducted a raid yesterday on the home and office of Trump's personal attorney, and the president calls it a, quote, attack on our country, unquote. There's no firm word on what they're looking for, whether it has to do with Russia and the election or maybe that alleged hush payment to stripper Stormy Daniels. Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg scheduled to answer questions on Capitol Hill later on today and tomorrow, and he's released a text of his testimony in it. Zuckerberg plans to tell legislators that he personally takes responsibility for Facebook's failure to prevent its platform from being used to facilitate foreign intervention in our elections and for the spreading of fake news and hate speech. In his prepared remarks, Zuckerberg will also list the changes that Facebook is making, like auditing all connected apps and verifying the identities of people who buy political ads. Former Republican Governor Rick Scott has announced that he's running for U.S. Senate. Since he's not expected to have a GOP primary opponent, Scott will expect to challenge three-term Democrat incumbent Bill Nelson. Hundreds of people flocked to Atlanta's famed Ebenezer Baptist Church yesterday on what was the 50th anniversary of the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King's funeral. And two of the King children, his son Martin III and his daughter, Reverend Bernice King, that's his youngest, they were those in attendance. There were so many in attendance, but they were among them. After the service, by the way, the crowd marched to the Georgia State Capitol to also commemorate the life and the legacy of Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr. Finally, today is National Farm Animals Day. And it's also be kind to animals as well, and the prevention of cruelty to animals. So remember that. Be kind to your pets and make sure that other people around you are decent to theirs as well. We'll be back with more entertainment and today's trending topics 20 minutes after the hour on the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Hey, listen, guys, this is great news. According to The Hollywood Reporter, the man we know and love, our fearless leader, Steve Harvey, has landed first number one of top TV celebrities social media ranking, okay? First number one on top TV personality social media ranking. This now, yes, big that deserves down. A big
number
hand. This is based on data from personalities from Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, and Google+. The chart is put together by the blend social engagement on the platforms along with weekly additions of followers slash subscribers. And Steve, this is also good news. You lead Mike Huckabee, Chelsea Handler, Chris Hayes,
number one, Bill Maher
on the chart's top five. So congratulations to you. You're number one.
Yeah, Steve.
Thank you so much. Thank you, folks. Yeah. I have no idea what this means for me. Being number one in this division is something I'd always aspired to. You know, it's amazing how I've done. I want to thank my team.
Clap for yourself like Donald Trump. Go ahead.
I want to thank my team. I mean, it was just terrific.
Yeah.
Terrific, wasn't it?
Clap for yourself.
It's like really good.
Yeah. Hey, believe
it's
me. Like believe me.
Believe me. Believe me. It's going to be so good. This
Say
is
you.
Huge.
Yeah.
I'm going to do deals.
Tremendous.
Like you've never seen before.
You're going to get tired of winning.
This is going to be, you're going to just be tired of winning. It's going to be so good for America. What I'm done is just like, it's really great. It's really great. This is huge.
Yeah.
In so many ways.
It's not fake news.
And I want to just stop the people who have been hating, you know, people in fake news who didn't think that this could happen, because it can happen. Melania's happy.
You're going to build a wall around what you've done.
Byron is, you know, just
Byron. Yeah.
Byron, you know, I don't spend a lot of time at home. I don't know my own child's name. I'm always gone. I'm on the golf course, Malargo, and things like that.
And Mexico's going to pay for it.
You better know that what I'm doing. Hey, I love those kids with DACA. We love those kids. I mean, we love them to death. We're going to do something really good for DACA.
Yeah.
And,
love Bill.
You know, it's going to be like a bill of love.
Yeah.
You know, because we care so much for them.
Woo!
You know, and all of this. And I just want to just say, hey, look, we're going to build the wall. It's going down.
It's
we're going to build the wall. And Mexico is paying for it.
Not according to Mexico.
Said, you ready for
just
Saturday Night
blanket
Live, boy?
Blank.
Said, though, we're not paying for the wall, okay?
The president told him in English and Spanish.
They're not paying for the wall.
No.
All right, guys. Congratulations once again, Steve. Coming up.
Yes, sir.
Coming up in just a few. Comedy Roulette. That's coming up at 34 after the hour. Woo-hoo. Right after this.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, guys. It is time for Comedy Roulette. Jay, please explain.
Yeah. Let me explain it. Can I explain it?
Yeah. You got some explaining to do.
What's some explaining?
I'm tired of you explaining to the truth.
And hurry
it's
up.
It's new people, Steve. Give us five subjects. Put them on a wheel. Spun the wheel where it stopped. We will do the damn thing. That's how good we
is. All right. Are you ready?
We're ready. We're waiting on you.
All right. Number one. Here we go. You can't pay me my money back, but...
Like that one.
Okay.
Like that.
A lot of people. That,
yeah.
You talk all that trash, but you know you don't look like Toni Braxton. Okay.
Not Toni, though.
Okay.
No, that needs to be said.
Yeah. Number four, that's what you get when you try to do blank to yourself. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you get when you try to do blank yourself.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Good one. Good
Number
one.
Five, that's what you tell me, but the truth is, you've been put out.
All them's good. All
of those are good, right?
Yeah. All them's is good.
Spin the wheel, Dave.
Spun it.
Wow.
I know you don't look like Toni
like
Braxton.
Toni Braxton.
Yeah,
that's the one
I like. okay. It stopped on number one. You can't pay me my money back, but...
Yeah.
Dot, dot, dot.
Oh, good one. You can't pay my
money.
You
can't pay me
my money.
My money back.
But.
Dot, dot, dot.
You can't pay my money back, but why is you sending me pictures for you in Florida? Why the hell?
Yeah.
You all down there.
Can't pay my money
down there cashing. You all down there cashing.
Okay.
Yeah, you can't pay me my money back.
But you got pictures. I tell you what, you can't pay me my money back, but you saw Black Panther.
You can't go to the room.
You can't tell me you saw Black Panther.
Uh-huh. What you got now? Come on.
You can't pay me my money back, but you on the front row of Bruno Mars concert? You on the front row.
You down on the front
row. That's what I like.
That's what I like.
Come on, Steve.
Steve?
You can't pay me my money back, but you'd have had a Super Bowl party.
Wings and all, Steve.
Yeah, you got wings and everything?
Dog, free.
Yeah.
Wings.
Just come on.
You throwing parties now?
Yeah, that's what they doing.
You can't pay me my money back, but all of a sudden I see that tooth is where there was no tooth before.
Yeah.
That's expensive.
Yeah, that's expensive.
Yeah. I'm telling you, dog, you can't pay my money back, but you having feet surgery. You getting the bunions removed? What? What the hell?
You gotta get the bunions taken off, dog. Yeah.
You can't pay my money back.
Yeah.
You can't pay me my money back.
Uh-huh.
But you at the strip club making it rain with Money Mayweather?
Yeah.
You
with what? Mayweather?
Yeah, you like can't that. Pay me. Yeah, Steve, what you got?
You can't pay me my money back.
But
you got a new Easter coat. A coat, dog.
Go see the Lord. Got to go see the Lord.
Pretty pastel.
Yeah, you can't pay my money. You got a new Easter coat. Uh-huh. You can't pay me my money back. But all of a sudden, your eyes is green. What the hell?
Yeah.
Yeah, you sitting there with your green eyes looking at me.
Yeah. Hey, hold on. You can't pay my money back, but you pitching in on the funeral.
What?
Wait a minute. We
you
been buried now. And you got money
now,
for this?
Now you got money. Nana don't
bed.
Need that money.
Hold on. You can't pay me my money back. But you first class on Emirates?
Whoa.
Headed to Dubai? Whoa. You headed to Dubai?
You going to what? Dubai?
You can't pay me my money back.
Uh-huh.
But you out back barbecuing with baby back ribs?
Dog. You got ribs.
Dog. You with baby backs, though.
That's top of the line, right?
Does you out there just barbecue with baby backs? Hold up, partner. One of them hot dogs. We all down the street grilling these wieners.
Thank you, guys. That's Comedy Roulette for you.
Yeah. I want my baby back, baby back.
I want my baby back.
Nephew Tommy has a prank phone call right after this.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Coming up at the top of the hour, right about 4 minutes after, it's today's Strawberry Letter. But up next, Tommy is here, the nephew, with a prank phone call. What you got, Neff?
A wedding with Butchie.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you going to bring up the Ebony Harder? You thought the first time
Shut
I was
Steve Harvey. A wedding with Butchie.
You thought I ain't mean it?
Hello? Hello, I'm trying to reach Alan.
This is he.
Hey, Alan, how you doing? This is Butchie, man.
Butchie?
Yeah. You was at the cookout the other day with the family. I'm Christian's cousin.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
You was at the cookout the other day. I wanted to reach out to you. I know the wedding is in the next 2 weeks, right?
Yeah. It's like two and a half, yeah.
Yeah, you ready for that?
Hell yeah.
Okay. Well, hey, man, I got a little bit of a problem that, you know, we kind of wanted to call you about, you know, because the family got together and had a little meeting, like, and what the deal is this here. I know you excited and want to marry my cousin, and she kind of excited, too, about the whole thing. But, you know, like, the family members, we got together and decided that for right now, we finna call the wedding off for right now.
What you talking about, calling the wedding off?
Well, see, you know, everybody think you cool and all, and, you know, we real, real passionate, man, about, you know, people marrying into our family or whatever. Like, you know, the gathering of the day, you know that was a potluck thing. Everybody bring something, right?
Hold on. Kristen ain't never told me no like that.
About what?
About something about not getting no married.
Okay, well, see, right here, like I say, this is what the family done decided on.
I don't give a what the family decided on.
Okay, see, this is what I'm trying to tell you. See, we're a real close-knit family, and it's like this here. See, first of all, let me get you to understand this here. You talking to Butchie right now, all right? See, here's the deal. You know, we done decided that the wedding ain't finna happen in 2 weeks. Until, like, when we had the potluck barbecue, everybody bring something. Why you ain't bring nothing?
What you talking about? I'm paying for the wedding.
Oh, that's what you finna throw up in our face, that you paying for the wedding?
Hell yeah. What the was I supposed to bring?
Hey, man, everybody bring something when we have a potluck, you know. Everybody bring something and contribute to the function or the event that's going on, you know. And for you to walk up in there and not have nothing, that let us know what kind of person you gonna be in the family. We can't have that.
Who is this again?
This Butchie right here.
I don't know no Butchie. Look, I came to the family gathering picnic. I came there, showed up, loving on all y'all, telling y'all how great this was going to be. And now you telling me I can't marry Kristen? Is that what you're telling me?
Hey, man, the family done already voted. And when the family vote, dog, that's it.
I ain't marrying the family.
You marrying my cousin Kristen. That's what you're trying to do. And you ain't finna marry her.
Look, don't be calling up to my job talking no like this. I'm already on hot from today with some bull. My supervisor done pulled. Do not come calling me with no bull.
Hey, man, let me tell you this here. Until we can decide that you good for Kristen, until we can decide that, you know, you can handle being married to her and you come correct as a family member, and if you going to come to potlucks, then you bring a pot. You ain't bring nothing.
I ain't got to bring nothing. I'm paying for this wedding. I don't give a what y'all say. All that money I done dropped for this? I bought 2 bottles of wine to it.
You bought, I ain't seen no wine.
I don't care if you got that wine or not. I saw her mama drinking it.
Okay, well, I ain't getting no wine. I don't remember nobody bringing no wine. See, Butchie normally see everything that go on.
I got class. I don't know what you talking about. Butchie, whatever. I brought some wine. Her mama was drinking it, and I ain't playing that. This wedding going down. I done spent over $23,000 on this.
Hey, man, I done already told you that the family done voted on that the wedding ain't.
I don't give a what the family voted on. I done paid for this. I ain't heard nothing from Kristen about this.
Kristen might not know what we done voted on. We make decisions sometimes for everybody. You understand?
That don't include me.
We'll let Kristen know that we finna stop the wedding. I'm just calling to let you know before I even tell her what's up.
You trying to tell me Kristen don't even know?
Nah, we ain't told her that we don't agree with you yet and that we gonna stop the wedding. We ain't told her that.
Man, get the out of here. I done paid all this money for this, man. Y'all ain't stopping.
Hey, man, I done already told you what we doing, all right? I'm not finna continue to go back and forth with you.
You better get off my phone raising your voice at me.
I tell you what, let me say this to you. I don't care if I got to bust up in that church and stop this wedding, because you done went against what we done said, whatever I got to do.
I don't know who you with. I wish your would try to stop this wedding. Look, we can handle this right now. I can get off of work. I'm already going through some bull, and I'm already on fire. I will come there and bust your right now.
I don't know. You know what? See, when she was going with Nigel... See, Nigel ain't act like this.
Hey, oh, what the f***? I don't know you didn't bring that up. Me and that already had work. Don't even bring that name up in me.
Hey, man, I'm just keeping it real with you. Nigel ain't act like this here.
That we done have words, and if that want to come and bust up in there, too, he get dealt with just like that, too.
Hey, man, all I'm just trying to say is the whole family, 100%.
All that, I don't want to hear nothing about this no more. Tell me where to be, and we can deal with this right now.
I'm just letting you know the family done voted. The family done already agreed. Now, what we'll do, we'll push the wedding back and then give us time to reevaluate you.
Man, reevaluate me? I don't need no evaluation from y'all. Me and Krista get married. I done put some money on this.
All I know is the wedding ain't happening.
That the wedding is happening. Not after I done paid for all this. You want some bull? You, the family, we gonna get married in 2.5 weeks. And y'all, if y'all don't come, and if y'all come up in that, y'all gonna get dealt with straight up.
Hey, man, I'm trying to tell you, man, right now the family don't want you in the family right now.
I don't give a about y'all. I ain't in love with y'all. I'm marrying Kristen, and I can give a if I see y'all ever again.
Oh, I'm gonna tell you this here. The family voted on one more thing. You need to go on and know that while we at it.
This ain't no damn democracy. We getting married. That is between her and I. And if y'all don't want to be there, jump off in a ditch.
It's one more thing we done voted on.
What the else you done voted on?
We voted on this. This is Nephew Tommy from the Steve Harvey Morning Show. Kristen's entire family got me to prank phone call you.
Y'all some y'all some I'm still up when it come to the wedding. you, Tommy. I done put all that money out like that. I was like, no, sir.
I got one more thing I got to ask you, dog. What is the baddest, and I mean the baddest, radio show in the land?
The Steve Harvey Morning Show, baby. Tommy, I'm being real with you, man. Somebody gonna f*** you up.
That got pretty tense right there, huh?
Whoa.
That's pretty tense right there, yeah. Baby. This laughter is actually loosening up my chest congestion. That's actually what's happening.
That's what's
they
going on.
They say laughter is the best like medicine, that. Huh?
Laughter is the best medicine.
Man, it is.
Laughter's good. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, baby. April 5th, 6th, 7th, Lexington, Kentucky.
There
comedy on Broadway.
Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Here I come. Nephew on the way. Been about 2.5 years since I've been there. Get your tickets. They on sale right now.
So you got a whole new show for them?
Yes, sir.
Let them have it,
yes,
boy.
Yes, sir.
How many shows you doing?
I'm doing 5 right now.
5.
One Friday.
Come on, let's sell them out.
Yes. 1 Thursday, 2 Friday, 2 Saturday.
That's it?
Mm-hmm. 5 of them.
Okay. Yeah.
That at least, that minimum for me be 7.
I know you. You 8.
At least. Ain't no way in hell I came to 7. I got to do 3, 3, and 1. But they're going to have to add one. They're going to have to add something. That boy black didn't know how to sell out a room, boy. Man, there wasn't no social media or nothing back then. That boy would sell out a room, boy.
And you were hungry back then, too, weren't you?
Hey, I have do we have enough time for me to throw this out there?
No. No, we don't. We have to go. Oh. We can do it. We can do it when we come back. Yeah, we can do it when we come back. Because it's 10-7.
Yeah, to throw it out later.
Yeah, we'll do it at 8 o'clock.
Just your name on the damn wall.
That's all it is.
Coming up at the top of the hour, it's the Strawberry Letter.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, the ratings are in, guys. The Last OG, starring Cedric the Entertainer, Tracy Morgan, and our girl Tiffany Haddish, is the most watched debut show on TBS
ever.
Yeah. And listen, we have a special treat for you coming up at 41 after the hour. Cedric the Entertainer will be our special guest this morning.
Say it.
He's going to tell us all about The Last OG on TBS. All right, so get ready for that. And right now it's time, get ready for today's Strawberry Letter. listen, if you need some advice on your relationship, on dating Steve, on work, on sex, on parenting, more, tell them to submit their Strawberry Letter to SteveHarveyFM.com.
Divorce.
And to just click Strawberry Letter. Tell them, Steve.
Yeah.
What she said.
You better do what she said about them letters.
I just wanted to make sure you're paying attention.
Yeah,
no,
all of them, man, they nice. they nice when we get them. Uh-huh. We read them and everything.
Thank you for your support. Yeah.
That's just what I be wanting to do. I almost damn near sent one in the other day myself.
Did you now? So there you go. We're ready, nephew.
Buckle up. Hold on tight. We got it for you. Here it is. Strawberry Letter.
All right. Subject, should I overlook his trust issues? Dear Stephen Shirley, I'm a 32-year-old divorced mother of 5. Recently, I met the man that I am now in love with. The chemistry was bananas from the moment we met. He accepted my children with no problem. To top it all off, he's tall, dark, handsome, and the sex is so good. It brought a tear to my eye one night. When we met, he was unemployed and living with his grandma, but he won me over with his persistence and great personality. I encouraged and helped him complete a training program and then start a career. Well, here's the dilemma. He is extremely jealous. Any misstep on my behalf, such as a missed call or a delayed text response, he starts to act crazy. He goes into a fit of rage and he says really hurtful things. He's called me a bee, a whore, slut, and he accuses me of cheating on him. His ex-wife cheated on him with his brother, so he has serious trust issues. He's crazy jealous and insecure behavior. His crazy jealous and insecure behavior breaks my heart. I never even considered cheating on him. What can I do to get this man to trust me? This really sucks. Please advise. You are so correct. This does really suck. But please know that this has absolutely nothing to do with you. All right? This tall, dark, and handsome loser is insecure and he's controlling. He's taking it out all on you. He's taking all of this out on you. Here you are, having done everything for him, you know, with the training program, helping him start a career and all of this, and this is the thanks you get? How dare he treat you like this, you know, by being so ungrateful? I just say to you, please don't let his bad behavior to start you to, you know, to be less confident. have it start taking away your shine. I don't think no man is worth going through all of this. You ask, what can you do to get him to treat you, to trust you? You're doing it, and you've done it, okay? What else can you do? I mean, you don't have to do anything else. I think you've done quite enough. I'm concerned that he can get violent with this abusive behavior that he's displaying if it continues. I just say, remember, you have five kids and that I'm assuming are rather young and impressionable since you yourself are only 32. They're watching everything you do, so I say be smart and get out while you can and while you still have your dignity, okay? He's disrespectful, and he doesn't deserve a woman like you. Steve?
Well, one thing is for sure. Don't nobody see these letters like me. I like to dig up under the letter and find out what's really going on. Mm-hmm. Should I overlook his trust issues? The beginning of the letter is quite clear to me. I'm a 32-year-old divorced mother of five. Recently, I met this man that I'm in love with now. The chemistry was bananas from the moment we met. That's a young term. It's bananas. It's bananas. That's a young term. The chemistry was bananas. Nobody describes they love life as bananas.
Dig in there, Steve.
Chiquita, Joe. It just ain't a good look when your relationship and chemistry is bananas. That's all it is? Ain't nobody mentioned love in this letter, though. So, but that's because it ain't there yet. It's just bananas. All right, he accepted my children with no problem. Well, that was big.
Yeah.
Five, that's big. I'll give him some credit. To top it off, he's tall, dark, handsome, and the sex is good. It brought a tear to my eye one night. I'm gonna explain to you why it was so good, because it starts coming out in the letter why his sex was so good. When we met, here we go. Right after you say the sex was so good, hear the reason why. When we met, he was unemployed, living with his grandma. This boy screwing for a place to live. He in here. This explained the whole top of the letter. You ain't got to wonder why the sex was so good it brought a tear to your eye. He needs somewhere to stay. He in here humping for homes. This is a new show that I'm gonna do. It's called Humping for Homes. This is when you ain't got nowhere and you got to put it out to get yourself somewhere. I'm gonna show y'all ladies how this works. I'm gonna find a bunch of unemployed men that stay in their mamas and grandmamas' basements. Yeah. And if they can come in here and bring a tear to your eye, they get somewhere to stay. You ain't going to believe the loving you going to get.
They got time for
it. It's a new show. It's called Humping for Homes. That's why it was so good, a tear to your eye. He's staying at grandmama's house. Mm-hmm. He ain't working. Oh, man. Men that ain't working got time to hone their skills. He ain't ever tired. He rested.
Yeah.
He got plenty. He got plenty. Don't nobody else want him. He got stuff backed up in him for months. Not very many women want an unemployed man. You did. Now, he in here humping for home. Now, he done bought a tear to your eye.
All right. He been on the flow.
Yeah. Why he humping so good.
We'll have part two of Steve's response coming up at 23.
I've been homeless. I have humped for homes before.
23 after the hour.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Coming up in about 20 minutes, King of Comedy Cedric the Entertainer will be our special guest. He's going to tell us about the hilarious new TV show, The Last OG, on TBS. But right now, come on, King of Comedy yourself, Steve.
Okay, we back.
This
is part two of this letter talking about should I overlook his trust issues.
Yeah.
She done met this man she been in love with. Chemistry was bananas. Just bananas from the beginning. Just banana. That's bananas. It's the monkey love. He accepted my children with no problem. She a divorced mother of five. To top it off, he's tall, dark, handsome, and the sex is so good, it brought a tear to my eye. Then she told us why. Because it's right after that. When we met, he was unemployed and living with his grandmama.
Yeah.
How his sex ain't going to be good? He got time. He off. He ain't ever tired. He ain't got nowhere to be. And he stayed with his grandmama's house, which has now caused us, me and Jay and Kia, going to produce the new hit show, Humping for Homes. This is where we take unemployed men who ain't working and show you how good sex they can give out because they have the time.
Yeah.
All right, now. You said, but he won me over with his persistence and great personality. Hell, he gonna be nice. Hard to be rude, you ain't got no house. I've been homeless.
Yeah. Was you nice?
Were you nice?
And nicer than I've ever been. Can't be rude. You stay in your car. So how you doing? How you doing today, sir? I'm absolutely fine, ma'am. How are you?
Were you
people I wouldn't
home?
Even speak to.
When you homeless? Home.
Yeah, I was very kind to them because they could be shelter.
You look at everybody. You look at is shelter.
Yeah. Everybody was speaking to me had a key. I didn't. Stupid. This could be meal out of a plate, TV on the wall, yeah, all
wow.
that.
Man. Wow.
So. I encouraged and helped him complete a training program and then start a career. Mm-hmm. Okay, hold on. If it happened that quick, let's quit talking about this training program and career you got.
Yeah.
You took him down there, he a fry cook. That's what we're talking about.
Hey, what? What? Say it again.
You took him down there, he the fry cook.
Okay.
No, all of a sudden, he just a training program. It's 2 weeks.
So she's embellishing that.
Yeah. Huh? Yeah. Okay. Good. So he got a career. He's extremely jealous. Any misstep on my half, such as a missed call, a delayed text response, he starts and acting crazy. Let's just go back to why. You his home now. He got somewhere to live. What you mean you ain't answering no text? You moved? You didn't answer my text. You don't want me? I called you. You missed a phone call. You won't answer me.
Where am I staying?
He goes into a fit of rage. He says really hurtful thing. He's called me a bee, a whore, a slut, and he accuses me of cheating on him.
What?
His ex-wife cheated on him with his brother. This ain't got nothing to do with you. He's referring to you as to what he's referring to his ex-wife as. Because that's what he called her after she cheated with him with his brother. Your real issue was with both of them.
Wow.
But I'm going to beat my brother ass, though. He got an ass whooping coming.
Yeah.
Your brother going to get his ass whooped.
Absolutely.
Now, me and you, we ain't cool no more. We ain't going to talk. I got all that. But my brother, though, he gonna get the flesh stomped off him.
What?
The flesh stomped off of him. And he know that. He already know that.
So he's just skin and bone.
Now his ex-wife cheated to his brother. He has said he's crazy jealous and insecure behavior breaks my heart. I never even considered cheating on him. What can I do to get this man to trust me? This really sucks. You can't get this man to trust you. If you've done nothing to make the man have you done nothing to cause mistrust in the man?
Right.
What can you do to get him to trust you? What else can you do? You're not doing anything wrong and he don't trust you.
Absolutely.
What can you do more right to get him to trust you when he don't trust you and you ain't done nothing? This is not a win situation. You're dealing with a person with some serious issues. Well, now you know why you didn't found Mr. Tall, Dark, and Handsome and he was available.
It is good.
Where does this outstanding man, he was unemployed. He was staying at his grandmama's house.
Yeah.
His mama even told him, you can't stay.
Oh, that's why he was at grandmother's house?
Man, you're at your grandmama's house because your mama done told you can't stay here.
He
went to mama first. You can't stay here. Boy, pull yourself together. Mm-hmm. Might have a daddy or something. Boy, you ain't finna come back up in here. Mm-hmm. Get your ass together. Mm-hmm. He went right over to grandma's house because he weak.
He
weak and he insecure.
Oh, man.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, listen to me. You're not going to be able to win this man's trust because you've done everything that trustworthy people do, which is you've been loyal, committed,
and you're giving him what he needs.
Exactly.
You're giving him, he's getting good sex, but he's also getting a place to come to.
He's getting a key.
He's getting a key.
He's never had that.
He ain't no key in a long
time. He ain't had that since he was with his wife and she slept with his brother. She found out he wasn't nothing and said, well, hell, let me try.
What? Wrong That's how dude. That happened?
Yeah. Well, I done made a mistake with him. Let me try his damn brother.
His brother.
They are good-looking people.
Tall, dark, and handsome.
Yeah, they are. The whole family probably tall, dark, and handsome. His mama is tall, dark, and handsome probably.
Grandma tall, dark, and
yeah.
handsome.
Yeah. Just two pretty people in that house. This is all bad, lady. You should get out of this situation because it's not a win-win. No. See, regaining a person's trust is one thing. Having a person's trust and you've done nothing to get his mistrust
right.
is a whole nother issue.
Yeah.
What else can you do? You've done nothing wrong. So what? You have nothing to fix. You're trying to fix something that shouldn't even require fixing because it ain't broke. But he accusing you of being a bee, a hoe, a slut and all this because he talking about his ex messing with his brother. Yeah. And now you it. And until he get past them issues, you should run the other way. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much.
Humping for Homes, people.
Humping
for Homes will be on BET Saturday nights.
Don't forget to join me this coming Thursday for Facebook Live at 1:30 p.m. Eastern Time. And coming up in 10 minutes, one of the kings, Cedric the Entertainer, will be here to tell us about The Last OG, starring Tracy Morgan, our girl Tiffany Haddish, and of course, Cedric the Entertainer.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Hey, y'all, I told you he's coming. He's family member, my boy. Comedian, actor, TV host, game show host, philanthropist, all that. Got a new sitcom on TBS. It's called The Last OG. It airs tonight at 10:30 p.m. Eastern. He's joining us to tell us about The Last OG. Please welcome to the show the one and only, Cedric the Entertainer.
Oh, Cedric.
What up, Ced?
Good
morning.
Hey, look, man, let's get into this because we saw the premiere episode of Last OG starring you,
yes,
Tiffany
sir.
Haddish, and Tracy Morgan.
Yes.
It's on TBS on Tuesdays. That'll be tonight at 10:30. Tell us about the show, man.
Man, just a fun show to do, man. This is Tracy's comeback. And, you know, on the show, he plays a guy that's been locked up in the system for 15 years. Gets out and finds the world has moved on, man. I mean, the Brooklyn that he comes in, you know and love, has got, you know, yoga shops and workout facilities, and he loved, has moved on. She married to a white dude, and he got kids. And so I played a dude that runs the halfway house that ends up being a mentor to him, and I give him a hard time. Tiffany Haddish is on the show. It's just fun, man. Tracy, he's in rare form, top form, written by George Peele from Get Out. This show is just hot, man, and we was really glad to have the numbers open up so big last week.
Yeah,
it
man.
It was really good, Ted. Very, very funny.
Yeah, they
very
say
funny.
It's the highest numbers ever on TBS mm-hmm. of anything.
So congratulations.
Yeah. This show is really, really good, man. How you feel about the role you played, Sid?
You know, it's always fun. Like, for me, I get to come on and play that little, you know, one of those characters that just get to have fun. You know, I've always, you know, I've led on a couple of shows and from Soul Man, you know, those kind of things. And then to be able to come on and just play with other comedians, man, and, you know, again, my character is supposed to be the comic relief. He crazy. He, you know, he run his halfway house. He a nut job. So, you know, I enjoyed it. At the same time, he take himself way too serious. So, you know, it's a fun character to play, man. I tried to have a sergeant haircut. You know, I just added some stuff to it.
Yeah, I just enjoy the cussing on the show. That's been a highlight of mine.
That's your highlight.
Man, if I could, where was that when we was on it?
Yeah, me and the boy,
man.
We cuss like that, man.
Y'all have been cussing the kids in the classroom.
I wish I was doing that on Soul Man.
He's a minister, sir.
Well, I mean, you don't know the ministers we know.
Yeah, man, the show is really, really good, man.
Yeah.
Tiffany Haddish is on the show.
Yeah.
That was my
first
time seeing her that way. I've never seen her that way, you know, because when she first came on the show, I didn't know it was her.
Yeah, she's just like a little more of a grounded, a little more serious role.
She wasn't doing the nay-nay, you know what I mean? I think that was
I just went, okay, Tiffany Haddish playing bad, babe. Okay, hey, who the chick coming down the steps? Mm-hmm. All right.
But, she kills it, you know, and it really works for, you know, their relationship because you buy both sides. You buy her as, you know, the hood, the ride or die chick that was with him back in the day, and then you can see her evolve and turn into this new person. And I think that really helps, you know, to set up that story of what, you know, Tracy is searching for and looking for, you know, as the last OG, you know.
Hey, Seth, let me ask you this, man. How is it for you and Tracy? Because you're both legends in the game. Is it a lot of improv on the show? Do y'all just bring some stuff to the table that ain't on the script?
Oh, definitely, man. You know, I mean, that's what's really great about both of us being veterans like that, both on stand-up and, you know, on television. You know, the work he did on 30 Rock is, you know, always amazing. Plus, Tracy's sense of humor is one you can't write anyway. So you got to be ready, man. You got to be ready to go with him because he a wild horse, man. He just going to run out. He going to come out the gate, and you're going to be like, okay, well, all that training went out the window.
He's like Steve.
That's like me and you doing interview Steve on this show. Like, it ain't no, we'll get the paperwork.
Yeah, every time Sid come on my show, the producers produce the show, and they get out there and they hand me all them cards, and I just put them down in the crack of the chair, and we gone, and the producers be going, he's not asking any of the questions we produce. Two of us are unproducible.
You guys did that a lot on the Steve Harvey show, too, right, on your TV show?
Yeah, it's always whenever you know, you can trust that you got, like, you know, a great comedian with you. And, you know, again, it's, the show is well-written, so you got strong words. You know where you're going as far as the story points go and what you're trying to say. And so then, you know, the opportunity then comes in just, you know, saying, making sure you hit that stage and lighten it up when you get the camera on you, you know. Mm-hmm. That's what's really dope about that. And Tracy's great at it. Tiffany's great at it. Like I said, Jordan Peele writing that pilot episode and producing it. And this episode going to be just as funny.
Well, hey, man, we're looking forward to it, man. You got another great project, man. Keep doing what you're doing. Said the Entertainer, you and Tracy and Tiffany Haddish, man. We're going to be tuning in tonight. Y'all got to check it out, man. If you haven't seen it, the last OG, let's make tonight's numbers bigger than the other night.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's
funny.
Yeah,
let's go get them locked in on the last OG. It comes on tonight at 10:30 p.m. Eastern on TBS. Said, you the boy.
My dog. I'll holler at y'all.
Keep it going.
Bye, Said. Steven, I'm so proud that you even watched the show. I'm really proud of you.
No, I actually saw it, man.
It's good.
I mean, them two dudes, man, I was going through a tough time, Tracy Morgan reached out to me. Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, he came up to me one time. You know, somebody had a one-sided beef with me years ago, you know. And Tracy Morgan saw me outside somewhere at this hotel up in the DCA. He came up to me and said, hey, man, you a legend. You a legend. I don't get this dude even coming at you. But I'm finna call him up though and straighten him out.
Wow.
You know, he that type dude. Because he is really Brooklyn. Tracy Morgan is not the, you know, like if you a bully and you want to go pick somebody, he's not it. No. It's a bad choice.
Anyway, we want to say thank you to Sed for stopping by this morning. And make sure you check out The Last OG tonight at 10:30 p.m. Eastern on TBS. The number one show on TBS.
Only on TBS. Yeah.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, it is time. Let's go, Carla. Come on, Tommy.
Let's get it. We have a special edition, ladies and gentlemen. Right now, it's that time with Carla Farrell, Reality Update.
Ooh, all right.
I'm in it. What's I love it when we talk about something I know. Go ahead, Carla.
All right, crew. Well, Real Housewives of Atlanta, the reunion. By now, everyone has seen it. It aired Sunday night. We'll give you a chance to watch it. So here we go. I kind of said this earlier in the season that Portia needed to really apologize to Candy. And, you know, Portia felt, in her defense, Portia felt like she apologized twice to Candy for all the drama and all the damaging things that Portia and Phaedra said last season. But the ladies kind of came for Portia at the reunion show because they were saying that Portia's apology, both of her apologies were insincere.
It's a throwaway apology. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Or, you know, she just really didn't mean it. And that was really the major topic early on in the reunion show. Mm-hmm. And the ladies that, you know, you saw this, Shirley, they kept coming after Portia because they said, you know, you really weren't sorry or your actions didn't show it. And then NeNe even suggested at the season finale, she said, talk to her now. Let's get the girls together. And she said, no, I'm not apologizing anymore. So you hit me up on Instagram right now, Lips by Carlin. Tell me, do you think that Portia needs to apologize again?
She really does.
You think so?
Just make it sincere. Yeah.
Sincere,
I mean, just,
and mean it.
Yeah, just mean it with Candy. Yeah.
Yep. Candy and Candy's very emotional. Yeah. People were coming for Candy last night on social media saying that, you know, Portia apologized, it was enough, and that Candy is about to get upset and start crying again.
Oh, but tight Candy teeth is, Candy. I love Candy. Tight teeth Candy.
I love Candy. Mm. Candy.
Tight teeth.
Yeah. What'd you say? Wait, tight what? Teeth. What did you say?
She talks with tight teeth, with her teeth. Oh. Closed. Yes, that's how she talks.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, we love Candy. So anyway, that's that. Congratulations. It seems like Kenya, she revealed that she's expecting, that she's pregnant. Kenya Moore.
Yes.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So Andy Cohen, while talking to Kenya Moore.
Daddy?
What? Who's the daddy?
Andy Cohen the daddy?
What? No.
What?
She revealed Andy Cohen the daddy.
I said, but Andy Cohen, when he was speaking to Kenya at the reunion show, talking about her marriage and why was she so secretive throughout the season about her marriage, being that she is a reality star. Andy also told Kenya that her husband, Mark, told him, meaning Andy, one of his colleagues, that he didn't like the show and it was a bad image for black women. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Wow. So Kenya was trying to say, oh, no, that was on the blogs or something like that. And Andy was like, no. I was told that by one of our colleagues. So it kind of caught Kenya. Did you see that? It was kind of crickets.
Sometimes I feel the same way, that sometimes it is a bad image for sisters. Mm-hmm. The housewife, to show the fighting, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. when they get physical and they jump up and they slap each other on these
water
shows and throwing water and all like that. Mm-hmm. Listen to me. There are no group of black women who are really friends who meet and fight and then go out next Friday too. I don't know such a group.
So it ain't real.
I don't know such a group. And it does send the wrong imagery at times for young girls that you can dress up and be stunningly gorgeous and lose your temperature and walk over and slap somebody if they say something you don't like. That imagery is false of black women for real.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's really not. Shirley has a group of friends. Carla has a group of friends. My wife has a group of friends. Mm-hmm. They don't get together and fight and then get together again next Friday. They don't.
No.
Well, then what makes people watch it, Steve?
Because of the drama.
It's entertaining. Yeah.
It is.
It's mindless entertainment. And it's like reading a trashy novel or something like that.
These reality shows are scripted.
They are.
They have scripts. Hey, we're going to create this. We want to say this. You know, and like if you don't bring enough drama, they put you off the show.
Oh, well, speaking of
I'm so upset about that.
That's what happened with Sheree before on the Housewives show because she didn't have enough drama going on. So, you know, they if you don't have enough storyline stuff that juicy on social media, you lose your show.
But see, that's crazy to me because the Kardashians have none of that and people just watch them to watching them. They don't have any drama like that. They're not fighting. They're not cussing each other out.
And
the Kardashians' biggest drama, they never revealed on the show.
Exactly.
But.
With Bruce Jenner and Caitlyn. That's right. They never revealed that on the show.
Y'all through?
Yeah. Well, I'm through with that. What I wanted to say was you talked about getting fired off the show, so it's Sheree a rumor out there that Sheree reportedly was fired again.
I'm upset.
That's what I like. I'm really not going to watch
pick it.
All the men love Sheree.
I love Sheree.
We love Sheree.
I've never met a man that didn't love Sheree. They love her.
Bring her back.
So what happened, Carla? What happened now?
Yeah, they said that she did not get her peach renewed for next season and that she was let go. Now, this is on the blogs, and Portia tweeted out karma. She posted that on social media about, yeah, Sheree getting
but
terminated.
But Kim get her own show. That ain't right.
Against people.
Ain't right.
Kim sat her own show
chateau.
For yeah, several
that's
years.
All
right.
That is.
That is not
yeah.
right.
Yeah. And Kim, it's reported that Kim won't be returning back anyway next okay. season. But she wasn't a housewife anyway on the show, technically. So there you go. Part two of the reunion
that.
Show will be next week, next Sunday. And, you know, you're still going to see, obviously, Sheree on the reunion
okay.
show.
Now,
so
let's
we'll
talk
out.
About why do the Kardashians get the ratings they get? And you know
oh.
why. Because
why?
They may not have the drama, but they are revealing. They are revealing.
They're beautiful people.
Yeah. And yeah. they're gorgeous
and
to look at.
Kim
yeah.
is
yeah.
the most revealing.
Yeah, and they're
you
gorgeous.
You will tune
to look
in
at.
For that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I loved her. Mm-hmm. I like watching
yeah,
them. We
I watched
she was
them
just
as well.
Saying the difference of the shows
of
and the
shows.
Programming.
Yeah, the requirements.
Right.
You know.
Right.
We have
so
to
hit
do
me
that.
Up, Lips by Carla. Hit me up on Instagram. Let's keep this conversation going. We'll be back at 20 after the hour.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Okay, before we left off, Carla, you were doing your reality yes. update, and we were talking about the imagery of black
pretty
women
right.
on reality television and things like that versus a show like The Kardashians that brings in the high numbers, but they don't have the drama that, you know, the shows with black women have. And, Steve, you wanted to make another comment on that.
But, see, we
say.
Can control that. See,
what do you
we
mean?
Can control that. Those, you know... Candy is not that type of... She's a businesswoman.
Yeah.
Candy is
yeah.
really a businesswoman.
Yeah,
Cynthia
yeah.
Bailey...
She calls herself the boss.
Cynthia
yeah.
Bailey is really a businesswoman.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm.
She's a top flight model. She's a businesswoman.
Okay.
Kenya Moore was not that drama queen type. You know, they when you get on these shows, these producers, if they can push you in a certain direction, they will. They don't care about your personal life. They don't care about young black girls watching these shows. They ain't got no, they have no motivation. They have one motivation. That's a rating number.
Mm-hmm.
So they can stay on TV. And if they find out that drama and fight started, bam, Basketball Wives. Basketball Wives was
yeah.
the worst of the worst. When they came out with Basketball Wives and them girls was crawling across tables and doing what
that
they was
Evelyn.
Doing.
Mm-hmm.
Then all of a sudden, all the rest of the shows stepped up that way. All the hip-hop shows came back with that mess right there. Because in actuality, y'all, I just don't know black women who behave that way and are friends.
Yeah.
And
right.
remain
I mean,
in a group.
That's a true statement, Steve. That's a very true statement.
I just don't know them.
Mm-hmm. Even cordial.
Look, man.
But I don't
just,
know anyone who acts like that.
Well, I don't.
Any race. I don't know any. Yeah. I mean,
a group of women.
On Real Housewives of New Jersey, Teresa turned over the table. That was big news for, you know, mm-hmm. for a long time. But I
right.
don't know
Beverly
any
Hills,
women.
Beverly Hills, Orange yeah. County.
Yeah.
They get in arguments and they have, but this always slapping, getting up, physical walking over point. There and slapping you.
Brandy slapped Lisa Vanderpump
yes, she
on
did.
Beverly
yeah.
Hills. She
they
slapped
one
her.
Time.
And she's off the show.
Mm-hmm. One time. We fight every week.
They tune in.
We go up every week. We fly. We go out the country to fight.
So what you're saying is they require us to fight and act a fool and bring the drama, and they don't on these
and
other shows.
And we do it.
Yeah.
And we do it.
We do it because of the check. And
well, if you
fame.
Don't do it, you won't get a check.
Yeah.
You get put on.
Oh, yeah.
See,
put
and
on.
They control it that way.
Mm-hmm.
And some of these girls are making decent livings at this.
Man,
and
yeah,
so
man,
now
yeah.
here you come. And so yeah. that's the danger of it. And it, yeah, I think if Kenya's husband said this, he's absolutely right. I know a guy who wants to date a housewife.
Me.
Mm-hmm.
But won't
shut up, Jay.
Because of his career,
uh-huh.
and he can't do that. And no, man, no.
Sheree, I want
Sheree.
No,
I'll slap you for a check.
She wants to get married, Jay.
See, Tommy, here's the problem. Mm-hmm. Men don't do well on reality shows because, like, you would slap me for a check, but then you won't be able to spend none of the money.
Oh yes, I will.
No, you won't.
Matter of fact, it'd just be one episode.
Hey, this is Tommy slap Steve. And then next week, we don't know what the hell happened. Because we can't get cameras in to see Steve. They don't allow cameras down at county.
At county?
We're both getting
cameras. What is it, locked up now?
Oh, yeah, because, see, Tommy slapped me. Episode
Nobody's
is over.
Slapping anyone. Okay, yeah.
How he going to slap
Got
me?
Too heavy.
Anyway?
No.
Unless he jumped down off the wall.
All right, listen, more of this craziness when we come back.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, so you guys are all comedians. Check out this story. Dave Chappelle was hit in the leg by a concert goer who threw a banana peel during Dave's set. This happened in Santa Fe, Mexico, okay? The guy's name was Christian Englander. He said that he threw the banana peel at Dave because he heckled his friend. Now, this guy, again, his name, Christian Englander, filed a lawsuit in New Mexico on Friday claiming that Dave Chappelle's bodyguard whacked him twice in the face as he was being restrained by security. Now, Christian Englander was arrested. He was charged with battery and disorderly conduct, though the charges were dropped because Dave Chappelle was unwilling. He didn't want to even participate in the prosecution. Now this guy is suing Dave Chappelle in the lawsuit, saying he experienced loss of income, physical and emotional pain, and this is a new one on me, loss of enjoyment in life as a result of this attack.
Yeah.
That's what an ass whooping will do.
What?
You
don't really enjoy it.
Exactly.
What if you get your ass beat right? I mean, you're talking about right? Yeah. You don't enjoy life.
Right. You can't sleep good every time you see somebody.
Yeah.
But here's the deal. See, they don't understand.
Okay.
Here you are. You on stage. You performing. Mm-hmm. You throw a banana peel at a black dude.
That you brought them because they don't sell bananas.
Hold up, dog. Yeah. Hold on.
Right.
You bought a banana.
You brought it with you.
There's no bananas at the concession stands. Pretty much nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
So you bought a banana.
To throw at somebody.
You know, what
you thought this out.
Yeah.
He was right.
Wait a minute, hold
he
up,
was, no, you was right, Steve. You was right. You bought. He bought it. He bought it with him. He bought it
and brought it the
he
same
brought
thing.
Brought
same
banana.
Damn thing.
Not the same thing.
He bought the damn
the
banana in there.
Buy.
He put it in the bag and bought it with him. Go ahead, Steve.
Dog,
I swear to you, I don't see nothing wrong with
that. You comedians are so angry.
Bought the banana in there.
With him. Go ahead, man.
With him.
So now he in the showroom with the banana. Yeah.
Now, and he throw it at Dave Chappelle.
Ooh.
Now they go down there and they restrain the dude. Chappelle bodyguard. Go down there. Oh, we throwing bananas at black people.
At my job. Yes. This is my job. This is
to protect him. Now, Chappelle didn't want to participate, but now you're trying to sue Chappelle. You can't sue Chappelle. If Dave Chappelle had said, go down there and hit him two times in the face, you might have something.
Yeah. If he's suing him for loss of income, physical and emotional pain, and loss of enjoyment in life.
See, listen to me. That's what happened
what
when you get
that?
Your ass whooped. What he think supposed to happen?
What about smiling after an ass whooping?
Dog, I bet you won't run your damn mouth no doubt. I bet be the last banana. You won't.
I bet he don't like bananas no more.
Bet he's not at all.
He don't like fruit.
Banana sales is dropping in New Mexico. These people going, that's the guy that, banana got his ass whooped. We're gonna just eat grapes.
Well, let me put these back.
Nah, that's, you know what? People kill me. You always want to do something, then you don't want no consequences from it. He threw it at him because he heckled his friend. Whoa, 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 whoa. If you say something today, they going to say something bad. That's the comedy exchange. The throwing up on stage gets your ass whooped.
Yeah.
Now you can't enjoy life.
I'm in full support of everything. Now you can't enjoy life. You ain't supposed to.
Your cereal ain't got no bananas in it.
Wow, and you're thinking about coming back.
That was a banana split.
All right, we'll be back. We'll be back with our very last break of the day. Steve, I hope you thought of some closing remarks.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, Steve, we are here with our last break of the day. It's been a good day, a fun day. You had the day off yesterday, and now you're back, and in rare form, what do you
back,
have
I needed
for us?
To break. Today, I was thinking of something that's another jewel that has really helped me in my quest. And it's about my dreams and my goals. And I was wanting to share this with you today. One of the greatest dangers for most of us is not that our aim is too high and we miss it, but that it's too low and we reach it. Can I say that to you again? Yeah. This is actually a quote from Michelangelo. He said, the greatest danger for most of us is not that our aim is too high and we miss it, but that it's too low and we reach it. That's crazy, man. My father used to say something to me all the time, very similar. He says, son, aim for the moon, because if you miss, you'll still be amongst the stars. And that's pretty much the same thing that he's saying, that the greatest danger for most of us is not that our aim is too high and we miss it, but that it's too low and we reach it. Let me explain something to you about low aspirations and low goals. When you reach a low aspiration and a low goal and there's nothing after that, you think you've arrived. You think you're there. You actually get comfortable. Man, I made it. When in essence, there's so much more to life to live, so much more that you could accomplish if you would just reset your goals and aspirations. I remember, man, a long time ago, this dude at my high school, he said, man, all I want, I know two dudes like this about a car. He said, man, all I want, man, is this Gran Torino, man. If I had a Gran Torino, man, I wouldn't want nothing else. For his senior graduation, this dude's father gave him a Gran Torino. It was like unbelievable in high school, man. 1974 Gran Torino with the two windows and the slits in the back. I was looking at this like, wow. Man, he drove it to the prom. This dude had a brand new car his father bought it. I saw him like 20 years later. You know, he had the same car. He had the same car. It happened to another dude I knew, man, that wanted this Cadillac. Man, if I ever get this Cadillac, man, this white Cadillac, these red seats, man, I'm gonna... He got it. I saw him years later. I don't really remember how many, but he still had the same car. Always beat to hell, but he had the same car. Because that was his aspiration. And he reached it. But when he reached it, he got comfortable. I got it. And he quit wanting more. He quit reaching for higher things. You have to reassess your life constantly, man, because you are going to continue to live. You have to aspire to something that requires God's help. Quit wanting and reaching for stuff that you can do. Why would you say to yourself, man, if I could just get me a used car, if I could get me a 1985 Maxima. Really? Really? Get your money, save your money, and go on and get it. But if that's your only goal and you get it, where you go from there? You are never too old to keep reaching your goal. One more time. You are never too old to keep reaching your goal. It's goals out there. It's things that you can achieve. Get out of your comfort zone, man. If you try to survive in your comfort zone, you will fail in it. Everybody fails in their comfort zone because in order to be successful, you got to get uncomfortable. You got to do some things. You got to go when you don't want to go. You got to do when you don't want to do. That's what discipline is. See, it requires discipline to achieve great things. It requires discipline to reach your goals because discipline is simply doing everything you have to do and need to do even if you don't want to. That's what discipline is. It's doing the things that you have to do and need to do even when you don't want to. You go do it anyway. That's what discipline is. That's how you achieve goals. That's how you reach higher heights. Aim for the moon, because if you miss, you'll still be amongst the stars. But it's real simple, man. It's just like Michelangelo said, the greatest danger for most of us is not that our aim is too high and we miss it, but that it's too low and we reach it. Because it's danger, man, when you ain't got nothing after that. Because you get to settling and you get to thinking you there. When you ain't there, you got so much more life to live. God has so much more for you. God comes to give you life and give you life more abundantly. God ain't no mediocre God. God don't do mediocre things. God do great things. God performs miracles. God makes dreams come true. God is in the blessing business, the healing business, the saving business, the recovery business, the get your life together business. Why don't you let him do that for you? Aim high. God may take you some places you've never been. Those are my closing remarks. Y'all have a great weekend.
All right now.
BT Express, do it. Do it until you're satisfied. Come on and do it, yeah.
Do it till you're satisfied, whatever it is.
Turn your volume up if you're with me, please. Oh, yeah, I'll be in the mall.
For all Steve Harvey contests, no purchase necessary, void where prohibited. Participants must be legal U.S. residents at least 18 years old, unless otherwise stated. For complete contest rules, visit steveharvey.com.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.